Hello, and welcome to the first episode of my podcast, Remembering 100 Years Through the Stories of the Suffragettes. Today, we're going to be talking about Victoria Woodhull, a woman known for her tenacious and ambitious climb to the top. She was born in 1838, September 23rd, in Homer, Ohio, from an illiterate mother and a criminal father. Being one out of 10 children, she started school at the late age of 8 and attended on and off for 3 years before she eventually dropped out. A few years later, in 1853, she got married at the young age of 15 to a man named Canning Woodhull, who was a known alcoholic. Together, they had 2 children, one of which was handicapped. After that, she was married twice more. On top of being known for her numerous relationships, her progressive public remarks about sexuality and social reforms were later held against her. In 1868, she moved to New York with her sister Tennessee, where they worked as clairvoyants for Cornelius Vanderbilt. A year later, in 1869, she attended her first female suffrage convention, where she befriended many politicians. From there, she was invited to testify before the House Judiciary Committee. In 1870, Vanderbilt helped kickstart Woodhull and Claflin's Weekly, a radical publication for the time, a platform which they used to express their ideas on a variety of activist topics and social reforms, including women's suffrage. Woodhull once said, quote, "Let women issue a declaration of independence sexually and absolutely refuse to cohabit with men until they are acknowledged as equals in everything, and the victory would be won in a single week." Victoria is also known for her progressive ideas on birth control and free love. She's also known for this famous quote, "It makes no difference who or what you are, old or young, black or white, pagan, Jew, or Christian. I want to love you all and be loved by you all. I mean to have all your love." Victoria and Tennessee were also the first female stockbrokers on Wall Street, but their gender held them back from ever gaining a seat on the New York Stock Exchange. In 1871, Victoria herself announced to the panel that women had already won the right to vote under the recently enacted 14th and 15th Amendments. On this panel, she argued that women are citizens and that, quote, "the citizen who is taxed should also have a voice in the subject matter of taxation." Although the committee rejected her efforts at enabling legislation, it was this speech that cemented her leadership position among the suffragettes, until they had a later falling out because of her political ambitions and love of attention. Although Victoria already often spoke publicly on behalf of women's suffrage and even addressed Congress on the issue, she wanted to be more politically active. She established the Equal Rights Party, which nominated her to run for president in 1872, alongside her running mate, Frederick Douglass. Although he publicly campaigned for the Republican candidate Ulysses S. Grant, he helped her form her campaign platform on women's suffrage. Victoria was on a roll when her campaign was interrupted by a lawsuit between her mother and her second husband, but that released embarrassing details on her private life and impacted the election. Her bad luck continued after angry fans filed arrest warrants after an article she published in her newspaper that exposed Harry Ward Beecher as a hypocrite. His supporters helped garner an arrest warrant for Victoria and her sister Tennessee. They were taken into custody on November 2nd and remained in jail for about a month and even spent Election Day in jail. Even after Victoria was released, she wasn't invited back to speak at suffrage conventions. In attempts at a clean slate, Victoria left for England, August of 1877, where she met her third husband, a wealthy banker. She began a new life for herself in England, starting a new newspaper, and dedicated her spare time to preserving the English home of George Washington's ancestors. She also became an automobile enthusiast and donated money and services to the townspeople around her estate. In 1892, she came back to America and tried to run again for U.S. president. Although that didn't go as she planned, she kept working in her later years. In 1915, she volunteered with the Red Cross and founded a short-lived agricultural school. After an action-packed life, she died peacefully of old age in 1927. You'd think that after the crazy life Victoria Woodhull lived, her name would be more prominent in history books and tales of suffragettes, but she was and still is often left out of history of the women's suffrage movement. Victoria really stood out to me because of her resilience and conviction, regardless of what was acceptable at the time. She's a great role model for all girls because she encourages risk-taking and doing the unexpected. Thank you all for listening, and tune in next time, where we're also going to be talking about another woman that didn't take no for an answer, Alice Paul. Thank you.